Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll go ahead and give you a bit of a warning. If you're not to where you can get overly excited about the 10th game of a 17-2 game NBA season in which your team gets its fourth win to become 4-6, I can tell you that this isn't the podcast for you, because that's certainly the case with this podcast. Woohoo! The Grizzlies get a much needed victory and get a bit of revenge against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they do it again in a way where they are continuing to establish an identity, a clear identity that is making, you know, a difference in these winnable games, despite their best talents not being available. The Grizzlies, even coming off, you know, an inexplicable loss last Thursday night, they were able to adjust, get a needed victory, and they were able to do it in a way that continues to validate a style that is certainly working for them, and we will certainly get into that in just a moment. In the first segment here, we're going to talk about all about the Grizzlies' victory against the Cavaliers, what worked for them, why they were able to win, and what really does stand out as far as going forward after the 10th game of the season. In the second segment, I'm going to talk about why so far I give this Grizzlies season a grade of D, but why that's a compliment for both Taylor Jenkins and this roster. And in the third segment, we'll discuss a little bit about some lineups 10 games into the season, or, you know, for in some ways 9 or 10 games into the season. We'll discuss a few lineups that are really standing out and that are allowing for the Grizzlies to really find success when they're on the court. But as always, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. Follow the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Wherever you find podcasts, Locked On Grizzlies is there. Review, subscribe, listen, enjoy. Let us know what you think. We want to make sure that our content is always meeting our listeners' preferences. But obviously, a much-needed victory. As we discussed, the Grizzlies coming into tonight's game, their 10th game of the season. Obviously, last Thursday, they had probably had, you know, one of, if not their worst performances of the year. They followed it up with a very satisfying win on Friday. And thankfully, it looks like that they had a bit of a mixture of both of those games in tonight's game. The big thing about the Grizzlies in this game is that, once again, they did not defend the 3 too well against what was one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. The Cleveland Cavaliers got off to a 6-12 start in the first half. But the thing about it is that that is what really kept them in the game. It's almost as if the Grizzlies were okay with them shooting the three. And even if they made it, they felt that the Grizzlies felt that they would be able to find success elsewhere, and they certainly did. They were finding success creating more turnovers. The Grizzlies were winning the turnover battle. I mentioned that in my game preview over at Grizzly Bear Blues. You were looking at the number one and number two team in steals, the number one and number two team in deflections, and also two teams that were top in the top 10 of the NBA in limiting fouls. And that certainly is something that really worked to the Grizzlies' favor when it came to the first half. But as we got into the first half, as we got into the third quarter, the Grizzlies started to build up a lead. One other thing that really started to emerge that was good to see was that the offense that Taylor Jenkins was basing his schemes and strategies off of, we were starting to see it really work. Tonight, the Grizzlies, against the fourth best team in the NBA in terms of opposing field goal percentage on twos within the arc, the Grizzlies found so much success when it came to them getting the ball to someone in the corner, rolling up to the top of the key, getting to the free throw line, and then getting in the lane. The floater, which is a strength of the Grizzlies game, really was working. And though the three was not working, the Grizzlies struggled from three all night. Their consistency in finding high percentage shots, despite Andre Drummond and JaVale McGee blocking the rim, obviously, their ability to hit those floaters, their ability to get some jump shots in place, and really move the ball around, and not only moving the ball around, there were 32 assists in the game, which certainly plays to the Grizzlies' identity and their style of play, but it was the movement with the ball. We had heard players like Dylan Brooks, like Brandon Clark, others. Grayson Allen showed some improvement tonight when it came to moving the ball with his dribbling. A lot of effort coming off the corner, going into the lane, and finding either the floater or finding a pass to set up a good look at the basket. The Grizzlies were really able to find success off of that, and that type of movement with the basketball is what allowed for them to find success against one of the better defensive teams in the paint and on two-pointers. But of course, as I also mentioned in the game preview, you know, the Grizzlies didn't do that good of a job of limiting the three.
threes, but their success on two-point shots, as well as their effort on hustle plays, really made the difference in tonight's game. For instance, the Grizzlies, they were able to get 15 points to Cleveland 7 on fast breaks. The Grizzlies had 32 assists to the Cavaliers 20, so they were able to move the ball. The Grizzlies also were able to overall, they had four less fouls, as well as they had six less turnovers. So the Grizzlies, to get the big lead that they had into the start of the third quarter, was because they were turning the ball over less. Then when they started turning the ball over, the reason why Cleveland got back in the game is the Grizzlies' offense, when they were resting their best players to begin the fourth quarter, Cleveland found a lot of success. They got, I believe it was in three out of four possessions, the Cavaliers were able to get six straight points off of turnovers to get back into the game. But for the rest of the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies took care of the ball while the Cavaliers did not. At one point at the beginning of the fourth quarter, both teams had committed 15 turnovers. At the end of the fourth, the Cavaliers had committed six more turnovers from that point on. The Grizzlies did not commit any, and overall, the Grizzlies were able to find the difference by taking care of the basketball and getting enough stops and shots to go in to win the game. So again, just another defensive effort. As I mentioned, you know, before this game started, was that the Grizzlies actually had four less shots in this game, but they also had 21 total free throw attempts. That's the most that they've had in several games. So while the Grizzlies did not shoot the three ball better, and they didn't have more shots, where they made up the difference was their aggressiveness. Again, getting into the lane, even though they were facing a good defensive team, they were able to get to the free throw line more consistently, and then making 16 free throws compared to Cleveland's 6 free throws. That's a 10-point difference for the Grizzlies. That was a big thing that chipped into the difference of Cleveland making 11 more threes to the Grizzlies' 5. So the aggressiveness, not only to get into the lane and get to the free throw line for Memphis, which was on the uptick compared to most games, but also the consistent aggressiveness on defense that really allowed for this Grizzlies team to create the disruption that it needed to get the steals and get the open or to get the open floor possessions that it needed to get the win, stood out in this game. But it wasn't just about, you know, these team numbers. Some individuals really stepped out as well. Brandon Clark seems to have his efficiency going again. 7 for 13 from the field, 15 points, got a big team rebound at the end. That really stood out. But Dylan Brooks, again, showed out. He scored more than 20 points. He had 21 points this year. As Anthony Sane of Sports 56 mentioned, Dylan is on another streak this year. In the four games that Dylan has scored 20 or more points, the Grizzlies are 4-0. In the six games that he has not scored 20 points, the Grizzlies are 0-6. Now, the thing is that good and bad Dylan is certainly still there, but there is a higher floor this year with Dylan because of his improved playmaking, because of his better decision making on offense, but especially because of his defense. I asked Dylan about it tonight. What really is helping him emerge as a true difference maker when it comes to his ability to add value through disruption, through using his hands? We've seen such a decline in his fouls, such an increase in his deflections, and such an improvement in his discipline. And he said that it's just a continued commitment. He really wants to be considered for an all-defensive team this year. And I'll be honest with you, Dylan Brooks is starting to play like it. He is a top 10 in the league when it comes to steals, leading the Grizzlies who are getting up to being a top 10 defense, leading them in deflections, obviously is a centerpiece in a team overall that is among the best perimeter defending teams in the league right now. It's really starting to show through. So even though he was 6 of 15 from the field, the Grizzlies offense has to have some type of reliable source of scoring. So right now, it's okay for quantity to be there. When the quality talents come back, you're going to need more quality as you face better teams. But right now in these winnable games, you at least need some type of reliable scoring. And if that comes via volume shooting or quantity shooting, that's fine. It makes it easier for you to accept when Dylan is making the difference that he is finding on defense. Along with Dylan, You're finding a consistent avenue for Kyle Anderson to add value himself. Tonight, only 5 shots. He certainly has taken a step back in terms of his scoring from the first week of the season. But now, the one area where Kyle's getting really consistent is his ability to find different ways to add value. If the shots are not there tonight, he only took 5 shots, as he stated, he's going to get his teammates involved. 9 assists, 6 rebounds, good defense as well. He was able to switch and help out against Drummond, and also on the perimeter, he really was able to create good matchups in favor for the Grizzlies to get the needed stops that they needed to win the game. So it's while the team is certainly starting to really, really validate its identity as a really aggressive and opportunistic defensive roster that can turn defense into offense to complement its offense overall that is pretty inconsistent right now, these individual players are starting to step up. The best talents on this team are really starting to step up. Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones had another impressive night, especially on defense. Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, all 4 of those guys are really starting to emerge as difference makers for this Grizzlies roster. I won't necessarily say they're difference makers in terms of the NBA right now, but they if you were to look at the current roster of Grizzlies that are available to play, along with Jonas Valanciunas, those 4 players really stand out as the players that you need to rely on to add the most value. And not only are they consistently doing it through the expected ways that you would need for them to, they're also starting to find other avenues in which they can add that value, especially when it comes to the defensive end. But speaking of the letter D, that is actually the grade that I would give this Grizzlies roster so far 10 games into the season. That's correct. I would grade them as a D, but coming up, I'm going to tell you why that actually is a very, very genuine compliment to not only the Grizzlies, but also to Taylor Jenkins' impact on this roster so far this season. Your college football fan, tonight is the night of nights, of course, with the national championship game going on. But the unfortunate thing about it is that after tonight, there's not much more college football to enjoy, obviously, until next year. However, that doesn't mean you can stop having fun as a sports fan, nor does it mean that you can stop profiting off some good decision-making when it comes to other sports. The NFL playoffs are still in full swing. Obviously, the NBA season is getting in full swing itself. And now with hockey as well, there are not only those 3 leagues, but also plenty of other sports that you can really enjoy. But not only enjoy, you can add to your enjoyment by profiting off of them. And there's one place to go to really be able to do that. There's one place that we can suggest and only one place for you to really lock into being able to make the most of your wagers when it comes to sports, and that's betonline.ag. That's great. Betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our friends and exclusive partner at betonline_ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. 2020 is over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So I was discussing in the first segment the really good win tonight. Another satisfying win for the Grizzlies. It seemed like once again, you know, that's the thing about this team is that as good as their defense is playing, they likely are going to get sizable leads going early in the game. But as the other team adjusts, it's important for this team to adjust back because the Grizzlies, though they are getting some sizable leads, we're starting to see, and it's just because of the limitations that are on this roster. If more talented players on other teams start to get going, these teams are going to close gaps. And that's what happened tonight. The Cavaliers were able to play to their strengths, and that's how they were able to close the gap. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies' execution, both on defense and offense, they did it at higher levels than the Cavaliers were able to, and that's why they were able to pull out the victory. So overall, the Grizzlies stand at 4-6. And the thing about it is this, is that typically when you see a team stand at 4-6, you know, there's not a lot of positivity to really consider when it comes to how to grade the season. But in my opinion, that's why I would give them a grade of D. But in this case, it's not me being negative. It's actually me being as complimentary as I can be. And the reason why that is because of this. There are so many words that begin with the letter D that are very easy to use in complimenting this team. Number one, it's their desire. We saw before the start of the season, Dylan Brooks himself, a name that starts with D, is a perfect example. So, one of the media members here, Memphis, asked him about the playoffs. Dylan Brooks' answer was, hell yeah, we expect to make the playoffs. He also talked about how he was wanting to emphasize his playmaking, his ball handling, and be a consideration for an all-defensive team this year. In every aspect that he said that he was committed to improving, he has clearly improved it into this year. So the desire for this roster up and down to not only buy in to what Taylor Jenkins wants to do, but Taylor Jenkins' desire to buy into them and put them in the best position to make the most of their opportunities, both for the team and themselves, that really stands out for this Grizzlies team. The other thing that stands out is detail. Really, it does. When you talk to these players in these post-game conversations, it is always so enlightening. One of my favorite post-game interviews is Grayson Allen, because just of the detail that he will give in his answers. This is a highly intelligent, highly, highly motivated group of individuals who not only know a lot about what they're doing, but they're also able to adjust quickly. If what they're trying to do is not working, they're going to be able to find a way to hopefully make it work going forward. So even though this team does not have their best talents at the moment, their attention to detail and their ability to put the effort forward to stay aware and adjust as time goes on, that really stands out about this roster as well. The other thing is development. And that's the big thing that we're seeing because of Taylor Jenkins' effort with his players. We've seen Kyle Anderson show his ability to be an improved scorer, but also now healthy and comfortable in Taylor Jenkins' system, he finds different ways to add value. If one part of his game is off one night, he'll be able to make up for it by adding value elsewhere. That type of development in the confidence and his versatility stands out about Taylor Jenkins. We talked about Dylan's improvement, being more of a two-way player. That certainly stands out. Desmond Bane's ability to go from just being a shooter to really stepping up the depth, his ability to, you know, adjust to a defense. If the three-point shot is not there like it wasn't tonight, him going 4 from 4 from two and adding in a big and one to really allow the Grizzlies to keep the league in the fourth, that shows maturity in terms of his offensive game. That's the type of development. And it goes back to last year and this year. Up and down the roster, Taylor Jenkins is consistently able to, in a quick time frame, have players show out in ways that was not expected so quickly. He's really able to elevate the ceilings of players, and it's showing, either it be from his best players all the way down to the 10th or 11th man in the rotation, the development is certainly there. And because of that development, another thing that's really standing out about this Grizzlies team is its depth. Last year, you heard me talk about it so much, how important the bench's production was to this Grizzlies' success. Well, to start out this year with Ja and Grayson and Dylan and Kyle and Jonas starting, the bench, even though it had Tyus Jones and it had Brandon Clark, it really struggled. So a few of the starters go out. Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark go to the starting lineup. The Grizzlies' bench loses their two most important pieces, arguably. Well, as soon as that happens, that's actually when the Grizzlies' bench gets advantageous because of players like Gorgui Dieng, the impact that Xavier Tillman has made, the impact that Bane is making, obviously. Those guys are stepping up their game in expanded roles off the bench to support the starters. Everybody on this team right now, really except for Tyus and probably Dylan, are in a bigger role than they anticipated coming into the season. But they're able to continue to improve their games and adjust their games because of how highly intelligent they are and how tuned in they are to the continuity of this team. The depth is really showing out, and it's going to make it be of even more quality to support our best talents when they come back. The production that this depth is offering right now is going to pay dividends for them to be a quality resource once our starters are coming back and allow for our bench to once again truly be among the best in the league. And of course, the other thing that's big on my end is defense. It's defense, defense, defense. And that is something that is really, really, really stood out about this team. A big reason why is because of another word that starts with D, deflections. Forgive my alliteration, but the main point of this all comes down to Taylor Jenkins putting in the time in less than ideal situations to work with this team on the fly to help them and identify an identity that works for them, and through that emphasize it enough to where the consistent effort to establish that identity in each game for this team is really what is making the difference. And that is the defense. Whether it comes from deflections, whether it comes from staying disciplined, blocks, steals, whatever it may be, their defense leading to offense, however you want to mention it. This team right now, no disrespect to Dylan Brooks, this team right now doesn't have a clear all-defensive type talent on it. But they do have several very intelligent defensive players, very good defensive players who can make the most of any situation that they're faced with, and they know how to do it with each other because of the continuity that is on this team. Even though Xavier Tillman has played less than 100 minutes in the NBA, his intelligence, his instinct also plays a big part on this team. So the defense becoming an identity for the Grizzlies is the biggest development that this team has seen this year. It's been a needed development, and just as I mentioned about the depth, how productive this defense is being right now is going to pay huge dividends once our best talents are back, because if our second unit can be highly effective on defense, that's going to even add more, you know, more likelihood that becomes a truly advantageous aspect of this team once again as time goes on. So yes, I will confidently say that so far this season, I am grading the Grizzlies with the letter D, but I could not mean that more as a compliment than I honestly can. Their effort, their desire, their ability to develop, as well as how deep this Grizzlies team truly is showing to be, that all is a compliment to Taylor Jenkins, and all is a needed development so far this season. Though we're only 4-6, it's certainly is a success with all that this team has been through 10 games into the season, and hopefully it will only continue to pay dividends as time goes on. But one way in which this depth really does make a difference is through how it's utilized in lineups. Coming up in the third segment, I'm going to look a bit into what lineups are really standing out for this Grizzlies team and why their utilization is critical going forward. Here is here, and of course that means that we're right in the middle of winter, so you may have several reasons as to why you may not be on the go as you were during the summer and fall. Unfortunately, if you're not using your car actively, one thing that could occur is car issues. And while I'm not someone who can tell you how to repair your car, I can tell you where to go to be able to get the car parts that you need if repairs are needed, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great place for you to learn to lean upon if you have car trouble. Number one, within a few clicks of a button, you're likely going to find what you need, as it's easy to use, and it's also likely going to have what you need, as no matter the car part, no matter the make and model that you have, rockauto.com is likely to have what you need. Also, it doesn't matter, you know, what level of expertise you have. If you're someone that does your own repairs, if you do repairs for others, or if you need someone else to do your repairs, rockauto.com is going to be there to support you, and it actually is very financially dependent. This is a family-owned business. They've been around for more than 20 years. They know that car parts usually fall outside of budget. So if it's something that you need quickly, rockauto.com typically is going to be able to be financially acceptable for you and allow for you to get the parts that you need, get them quickly, and get your car repairs taken care of. When you visit rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first big board of the year with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Really glad to let you know that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Grizzlies, we actually will be doing a crossover episode with Locked On Timberwolves host Ben Beacon. Now, he will be joining me, and I'll be joining him for a crossover episode as we discuss, you know, the status of two teams who kind of are on the same wavelength when it comes to the competitive timeline. A team that we saw in a back-to-back series in the preseason will be traveling to Minnesota once again a month later now to take them on. You know, two teams that are kind of getting off to slow but encouraging starts, and I'll be glad to talk with Ben about where both teams stand as well as how both teams match up in this back-to-back series. So really looking forward to talking with Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves to preview the Grizzlies back-to-back series to end out this week in Minnesota. But obviously, you know, the Grizzlies are now on 4-6, as we mentioned. But a big thing about their success is, of course, you know, with their best talents, unfortunately, on the mend right now, unfortunately, on the shelf, you know, what's really going to stand out for this team and what has stood out is certain lineups that work and certain lineups that don't. And, of course, that's where we stand as far as this Grizzlies team goes. You know, Taylor Jenkins has really settled into the starting lineup of Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, and Jonas Valanciunas as his starting lineup. It's been a few games now since he's made an adjustment. And so with that being the standard that he's gone with, I thought that beyond that, it'd be fun just to kind of look and see from a five-man, four-man, and three-man perspective what lineups are really standing out for certain reasons when it comes to this Grizzlies roster currently. So for instance, right now, the lineup that I just mentioned, Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, the one five-man lineup that's been played significantly more minutes than any other, right now it's got an offensive rating of 92.7. You know, that's the amount of points that it scores per 100 possessions, a defensive rating of 99.3, and a net rating of -6.7. Now, of course, the thing about it is that of any five-man lineup, and there have been less than 10 five-man lineups so far for the Grizzlies this year that have played 10 or more minutes, that five-man lineup itself actually is the sixth best five-man lineup that the Grizzlies have played this year. But the big thing about it is that the reason why he goes with that is because arguably that group of five is the best, five talents. If you were to look at the Grizzlies roster, you would probably point as these five talents being the best among this group. But the thing is that they slowed a little bit at a slower pace. They also have struggled a bit as far as Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark goes. So these initial numbers are not that encouraging, but you have to also remember that looking at this lineup even just 10 days ago versus where it is now, it likely has picked up its effectiveness because Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark are playing at a much higher level than they did back then. The lineup that surprisingly has looked the best of any lineup, of any five-man lineup that has played 10 or more minutes this year for the Grizzlies together, is the lineup of Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, De'Anthony Melton, Grayson Allen, and Gorgui Dieng. The reason why that lineup has played 13 minutes so far this year together, but it has a net rating of 60.1, a defensive rating of 63.0, and an offensive rating of 123.1. Now, a big reason why that lineup's so successful is because of the significant offensive output that Gorgui Dieng and Desmond Bain have shown together. Plus, it's a very, very good defensive-based lineup with the likes of De'Anthony Melton and Xavier Tillman. So some encouraging signs as far as that goes. That lineup also has the best defensive rating of any of the Grizzlies' five-man lineups, but the lineup that has the best offensive rating is one that includes Kyle Anderson, Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton, Xavier Tillman, and Desmond Bain. That lineup actually has the Grizzlies' best offensive rating. And of course, it's no surprise. Two names that we consistently saw in the midst of the Grizzlies' most advantageous lineups last year were De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, but it's also encouraging to see the Grizzlies' two rookies, Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bain, being involved in the Grizzlies' best five-man lineups. But of course, you can kind of narrow it down a bit more when it comes to the Grizzlies' four-man lineups, and you see some combinations when it comes to four-man lineups that really start to show what group of players really play well together as they've played more minutes. And of course, with more minutes, you get more validation of what combinations work. For instance, when it comes to the Grizzlies' four-man lineups, when you consider the Grizzlies' four-man lineups that have played 25 or more minutes together, there's about 20 different combinations that have played about more than 25 minutes together for the Grizzlies so far this season. The combination that is played the most together is Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, and Dylan Brooks. That unit together, as we mentioned with Brandon Clark, they have an offensive rating of 93.3, defensive rating of 103.1, for a net rating of a -9.8. So again, this starting lineup that the Grizzlies are playing more and more, that they've been a bit consistent with, they started off not playing so well together, but now they're starting to play a bit better. But one thing, though, that I will say is that this starting lineup certainly has lost the advantage over the past few games that you saw kind of being the calling card for the Grizzlies. To start off the season, they got off to really, really good starts, mainly due to Ja Morant, but that's kind of shifted. It used to be that the starters were playing so well, the bench was not. Well, now it's the starters who are struggling a bit, supported by the bench. But the four-man lineup that has produced the best rating so far is one that includes Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton, Xavier Tillman, and Desmond Bain. As a matter of fact, you see Desmond Bain being involved in several, in the first two four-man lineups that really are standing out. The two best lineups, the two lineups with the best offensive rating, the two Foreman lineups with the best offensive ratings for the Grizzlies this year includes Desmond Bane, and that makes sense because the groups that involve Bane probably have the best spacing, and along with his three-point shooting, that really is standing out. So in terms of the Foreman lineups for the Grizzlies with the best offensive rating and net rating, Desmond Bane is involved in that group, which shows how valuable his spacing truly is. In terms of defensive rating, the groups also include Desmond Bane, but one thing that also is included in there is Dylan Brooks. You know, Dylan Brooks, Xavier Tillman, those are a few names that are there as well. So it just goes to show the spacing of Bane, but also involving a couple of these names that are really emerging as perimeter defensive difference makers. You know, we've seen Dylan Brooks, we've seen Tyus Jones, all those names are amongst these groups of four that are really standing out. But the thing that you really see as far as these four-man lineups go for the Grizzlies is that when Desmond Bane is involved, the consistency that his three-point shooting adds to the lineup, but also the spacing that his shooting adds to the lineup, it really helps to allow for the Grizzlies to get some offensive consistency going. So really, really eye-opening as far as these five- and four-man lineups go. As far as any of the four-man lineups that, you know, are really standing out, the one lineup in terms of a four-man lineup for the Grizzlies that has stood out this year, Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, and Grayson Allen, they had a 5.2 net rating. That really stood out because of the fact that it included Ja Morant as the point guard, you know, in terms of being a five-man lineup. So, you know, a lot of the Grizzlies' best lineups still involve Ja Morant, but some names that you're really starting to see as far as four-man lineups go are Desmond Bane and his spacing, allowing for some really good offensive production. But now we get into the trios. Now we get into the group of three Grizzlies that really play well together and are really making the difference as far as Memphis goes. And looking at this group of three, you know, we've got about 15 three-man lineups here that have played at least 50 minutes together. The group that has played the most together is, of course, Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and Dylan Brooks. Now, as I've stated, that group at one point was actually ranked in the top five of the NBA in three-man lineups with a 12.7 net rating. But, of course, the struggles of Valanciunas and the regression of Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson on offense, that now makes them a 2.2 net rating. So they're still certainly adding positive value, but simply not as much as they once were due to the fact that the offense of that trio has kind of stepped down a little bit. That's nothing negative. It was to be expected. As they've played more minutes, they've regressed because teams have figured them out more. You know, they've kind of been limited in terms of what they, you know, can do, so that lineup itself, naturally, its effectiveness has regressed a little bit, you know, over the past few weeks. Now, in terms of the three-man lineups that really have produced the best, one of the, you know, best three-man lineup out there that is produced is the trio of Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, and Dylan Brooks. That's a really, really eye-opening combination because you've got the spacing of Brooks and Bane, along with their perimeter defense, plus, of course, Clark with his effectiveness. So that is one group that has really played well together. This group also has the best defensive rating. The only combination that has, you know, come close to the defensive rating of that group is Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and Brandon Clark. And in terms of the best offensive rating, it also is Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, and Desmond Bane. So it seems as if, you know, we had talked about when it comes to Desmond Bane, you know, the ability to potentially start him, it's eye-opening that him, Brooks, and Clark by far are the best the best trio of Grizzlies that have played together so far this season. But it makes sense because of not only the spacing and three-point shooting of Bane, the reliable scoring, but also two-way ability of Brooks and the emergence of Brandon Clark's efficiency. The two-way ability of Brooks and Clark along with the spacing of Bane, when those three are on the court, it seems like that their two-way abilities plus the spacing that Bane provides really is making a difference both offensively and defensively. There's not too many trios of the Grizzlies' three-man group so far that have really been able to have success. As a matter of fact, there are only two trios of Grizzlies players so far this season that have netted a positive value when it comes to being on the court, and by far it's been the trio of Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, and Desmond Bane. So, you know, last year we talked about that when it came to the Grizzlies lineups, especially their three- and four-man lineups, the Grizzlies bench unit a lot of times provided the most benefit. They provided the biggest net rating differences to the opposition. Well, this year so far, it certainly seems to be the case again. But it's not surprising at all to see that the one name that stands out is the name that we consistently come back to as being the name that needs to be featured more, and that's Desmond Bain. And so if there's one thing to certainly see continue to improve, it's the ability to feature Bain. Obviously, again, tonight, not shooting any threes, but still finding success getting the ball in the basket 4-for-4, including a very timely and very intelligent drive to the basket to get an and one in the fourth quarter that allowed for the Grizzlies to maintain a lead. That just goes to show the expansion of Bane's game. He's adding depth to his ability to score, and that is allowing for him not only to give defenses something to think about, to be honest, but to give him an arsenal that his likely intelligent play will continue to allow for him to be effective with, and overall, and continue to make him a better scorer, especially if he were to start to see his minutes expand. So just some fun numbers, looking at some different lineups. Obviously, a lot of familiar names when it comes to these lineups, but it's fun to see some familiar names, such as DeAnthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, be among the Grizzlies' best lineups, but it's also very highly encouraging to see the rookie combination of Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bane be so frequently represented in these lineups. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I hope that you have a great Tuesday, especially coming off a Grizzlies win, a needed win. Obviously, we're going to have plenty to talk about this week. Tomorrow, again, I will have Ben Beacon of Locked On Grizzlies with me to discuss the Grizzlies' upcoming matchups with the Timberwolves in Minnesota. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Until next time, hope that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.